Some Cap and Company, your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
It's 10 o'clock in the great city of Chicago, First Midwest Bank Studio. I'm David Kaplan with Chris Black. Eric Ostrowski's in for Danny. Enjoy the day, kid. We'll see Danny on Monday. You can also find us on the app, on Amazon Alexa, on the Google Home Network. We're everywhere, and we're on Twitch. That's Chris. What's our Twitch address? That would be
ESPN 1000 Chicago.
ESPN 1000 Chicago. Thank you very much. ESPN 1000 Chicago. We're on Twitch right now as Steve Stone, my guy, Stoney, a dear friend of mine, joins us now. Stevie, good morning. How are you and how are things for you out in Arizona?
Well, I can pretty much tell you how things are, David. I watched the Tuffy Rhodes game where he hit three home runs off Doc Gooden last night on the MLB channel. So instead of doing baseball, I'm watching something from 1994, but it kind of struck me listening to Harry and Tom Brenneman. As long as I got a chance to listen to them, and now listening to a game that belongs in archives somewhere, it was really unique. All three Tuffy Rhodes home runs came in the same exact spot, seemingly left center field, and I think Gooden was probably shocked. But in the greatest tradition of the Cubs at the time, the Mets won that game 12-8. So the ending of the game didn't change. It just, in watching how it unfolded, was kind of interesting. And that's what a lot of baseball people are relegated to do these days.
Yeah, I've been on YouTube watching different things. I had tears in my eyes watching Joy in Wrigleyville the other night on MLB Network when they played the video tribute to the Cubs about how that whole thing unfolded in Game 7. I got to ask you, because we don't know when we're going to get baseball back. There's been hope that it might be back early June. I've heard July 4th. How long, you're a Cy Young winning pitcher, how long do you think it would take pitchers who had heated their arms up here into early March? I watched Dylan Cease throw five innings at 100 miles an hour, and now, boom, everything stops. How long will it take pitchers to get ramped back up?
Well, the first part of your unasked questions was, I think hitters will be ready right away. In fact, I think when they shut this game down on March 12th, I believe that hitters pretty much could have started the season within a couple of days, maybe even the next day. So they were pretty much ready. As far as pitchers are concerned, not many pitchers were ready to go yet. Maybe the occasional reliever who was starting to get multiple appearances and in multiple days. I believe, because that's going to be the real danger spot for any team as they move forward, which is protecting their pitching staff. I think it's going to take a month for pitchers to get ready to go, because although they might be playing catch or throwing, you know, if some can find a catcher, they'll throw to a catcher. It's just different than competition. And these guys' arms were not strong enough yet to support what is a very long baseball season. Now, we all know that the season is going to be shaved back. They're not going to play 162 games regardless of when they pick this up. But I think they have to pay particular attention to the development and the regrouping, the getting the strength back of their pitching staff. And with that in mind, David, I think what has to happen is twofold. You know, this year there's 26 men that comprise the Major League roster up one spot. And there was a cap on pitchers. You could carry the 26th man, and everybody would have, but you can only carry 13 pitchers. So I believe they're going to make an adjustment in that. It hasn't been said yet. They haven't talked about it because nobody really knows exactly what's going to happen in any aspect moving forward. But I think they might have to expand that to maybe 14 pitchers. I'm not saying necessarily that you have to go to a 27th man on the roster spot, but you have to increase that limit. I think to at least 14 pitchers, because I think you'll be using more relievers. Your starters will be going a shorter amount of time, which is hard to believe because they've been going shorter and shorter with every passing year. But that's what's going to happen as we come back. I think teams don't want to see 50% of their pitching staff be decimated in the early going, and that's what will happen, especially the longer this thing drags on. The more the pitchers are going to need some time to get back and get them in game shape. Because although their arms will probably feel pretty good, they won't be strong enough to support whatever is left of this season.
So as you look at the White Sox, and there was I went to see a game there, and I talked to Rick Hahn, and I had Tim Anderson on, and I think Carmen Yerk had Lucas Giolito, and the vibe was special. It was just something different. Like, man, we're ready to roll. And now, boom, everything gets stopped. How do you think the White Sox respond whenever it is we start baseball again?
Well, I think they're going to be equally as excited. And, you know, unfortunately, David, we really can't make our own timing mostly in life. There's an old saying that man plans and God laughs. And that pretty much holds suit here because the Sox had planned to put a very competitive team on the field, a team that was characterized by a lot of good, young, aggressive players, a lot of guys having paid a very small amount of their dues in the major leagues. Now they were in their second or third year. They looked to be getting much better. Moncada looked to be right on the verge of superstardom, you know, and hitting in the top 10 in the league last year for a guy who struck out the year before as many times as he did was an accomplishment. I think we saw Eloy Jimenez just getting better and better. Second half of the year, he's tough to get out. And, you know, you add Lewis Robert to that mix, Tim Anderson off a batting title, Jose Abreu off an RBI title, and you add the occasional young player here and there, the guys that were acquired, Encarnacion, Mazara. Mazara looked really good in the spring. Nicky Delmonico looked great in the spring. You know, a lot of people don't realize that for young guys that were trying to make teams, their spring was curtailed, and who knows what's going to happen when they come back. That all that magic that they had, they're not going to have. So the White Sox were very, very enthusiastic about this year, and justifiably so. It was going to be a much better team than last year, and probably not quite as good as it's going to be next year. But the fact is, you wanted all your young players to get the requisite innings if they were pitchers, to get the requisite at-bats if they were hitters, because the major leagues has something to teach you on a daily basis. You get a feeling about, if you're a hitter, how pitchers are going to work you, what they're going to do in certain situations, what are they going to do to get ahead, what do they do when they are ahead to wipe you out. And slowly but surely, these young guys start to develop and they start to have an understanding about what pitchers are going to do to them. And then they get better and better, as we've seen with a few of the Sox young players. As far as their young pitchers are concerned, I mean, Lucas Giolito was coming back. He realized that last year was the first really good full year he had, but he tailed off toward the second half. He anticipated, now he knew what it felt like to pitch with a tired arm for maybe 15 starts of the year. Well, he's not going to have those 32 starts this year, and nobody is going to have that. And so, you know, we will adjust. The game is very adaptable, and the commissioner's office right now is trying to comprise a situation for, let's say, and this is wishful thinking for me, let's say it starts June 1st. I think baseball will have a plan on what they want to do if it starts June 1st. What about June 15th? What about July 1st? What about the middle of July? And every scenario will have perhaps a different schedule attached to it. Every scenario will have different plans attached to it. Will we play doubleheaders? I think we will. Will they be seven innings? I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea with pitchers who are not quite ready to go, you know, multiple innings yet. And so all these things are on the table. What I applaud the commissioner's office and the powers that be in baseball is they're finally listening to a lot of diverse ideas from different people. They're trying to take everything in and see what fits. But before we have a definitive date on when you're going to be able to get a group of people together sharing the same clubhouse, sharing the same dugout, when that is a safety concern no longer, that's when they'll entertain baseball. And, David, Hawk and I did the only game, major league game, that's been played in front of no people, and that was in Baltimore.
Yep.
That was because of the riots. I didn't think that would ever happen again. I thought this was a one-off. It was a unique situation. We could hear the infielders talking to the pitcher. We could hear the umpire talking to the catcher. We could hear things that we never heard before. And it was interesting. But I thought, as a one-time shot, it was interesting. I didn't want to repeat it again. I couldn't possibly conceive of a situation that would have forced a baseball game, a regular major league in-season baseball game, to be played in front of no people. But now I can see it. I can see it happening again. And unfortunately, it looks like at least when we start, there's a very good chance that we're going to play some games in front of no people just to be consumed by the television and radio audience.
Talking to Steve Stone here on ESPN 1000. It's Cap and Company. So I've got to ask you about potential changes, maybe just for this season. Maybe they become long-term. How would you feel about the DH coming to both leagues? It's already in the American League, obviously. How would you feel if they said, you know what? We are going to start with a man on second after the 11th inning. We do not want 18, 19-inning games. And doubleheaders are 7 innings long. How would you feel about those? They've all been speculated by different people in the game.
Well, David, I honestly would be open to just about anything. Something that makes it so that we won't have any 15, 16, 17-inning games and ruin your pitching staff, not necessarily a bad idea. As far as all the other things that have been put on the table, I would entertain all of them, but I would start with this season, which is going to be one way or the other an extraordinary season, hopefully something that we never see the likes of again, and see how it plays out. I don't think you have to drastically change the game, but I think the occasional rule change is not necessarily a bad idea. You know, like, for instance, I would be in favor of seven-inning doubleheaders. I think that makes a great deal of sense as we come back, because we're going to see doubleheaders. As you know, we haven't seen any scheduled doubleheaders in recent vintage because owners want 81 home dates because there's a lot of revenue in 81 home dates. Anything that disrupts that is not too appealing. But I think you're going to have to expand what you thought of that was inconceivable before and give it a shot, see what happens. Worst that can happen when you make these rule changes is they don't work. If they don't work, you go to something else. If they do work, maybe you think of adopting them on a short-term basis. As far as a designated hitter is concerned, let me run a little test by you that you can talk to all of the people you deal with that are in the National League. Let's assume that teams had their choice, designated hitter or no designated hitter. You have to declare going into the ballgame what you would like to do. Do you believe for 1 minute that the National League, in a National League ballpark, with the American League team using and choosing a designated hitter, do you think that National League team is not going to use a designated hitter?
Never. They would always use it.
Not on your life. So if that's the case, if it isn't a competitive advantage to use a designated hitter, let's entertain the idea of doing that from the time we come back the rest of the way. And that way, you know, you're not going to prepare for 162 games. You're going to prepare for fewer games. Give it a try. See what happens. See if it's palatable for the teams, the owners, the fans of National League teams. See if they like it. And then you can always see what happens. But again, if you didn't think it was an advantage, then you would go with a pitcher. But I guarantee you, David, if you had the option, no pitchers would be hitting in National League games, in National League parks.
Hey, man, I appreciate you taking time. I look forward to talking baseball with you again. And please stay safe and healthy, okay, my friend?
David, let's hope this doesn't last too long. I fear that it will last a little bit longer than people want. But my one hope, my fervent hope, is that when baseball does come back, people who love the game will appreciate it a bit more because they'll realize its absence, as well as the absence of all sports in this country, is leaving a gigantic hole. So stay safe with you, Mindy, and your whole family, and I'll try to do the same down here, and hopefully we can reconvene when we're on the precipice of the 2020 baseball season.
God bless you. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, David. Have a good show.
Take care. Thanks. There he is, Steve Stone, the Cy Young winner, the voice of the White Sox, on NBC Sports Chicago. We will take a timeout again. Carry out Friday. Find your favorite spot. Grab a burger. Grab something for dinner. And try and patronize these people. They are hurting. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll be right back.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. And ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Thank you to our guy, Steve Stone, who joined us to talk some baseball. We'll try and do that again with Stoney. He's so good. 312-332-3776. Dr. Jim Phillips, he is the athletic director at Northwestern. He was also on the NCAA Men's Basketball Search Committee, Selection Committee, and he will join us. Some interesting perspective from him as well. But let's go to Pat on the Northwest side. 312-332-3776. How would you address the shortened MLB season? That's what I'm asking you. Shoot us a call. 312-332-3776. Hey, Pat, what's up?
All right, Cap. Interested in your show. You always have a great one, and that interview with Stone was fantastic. Now, to Major League Baseball. Play the regular season to mid-October. Let the owners and the players schedule how many doubleheaders they want and whatever length they want. And then when you get to mid-October, go right to the World Series like it was in the 50s and before. The top AL team versus the top NL team. And the reason for this is you've got all the seasonal workers working until the very end. This way, all of them are. And you have the playoffs. You've only got those cities that are involved in the playoffs. And it takes up that time. And seasonal workers, they need their checks. They need to get spending the money. And those would be benefits for the city. And in the World Series, if it's two warm weather teams, like let's say this would be interesting, right? The Dodgers against Houston in the World Series, that would be an interesting one. And then if it's two cold weather cities, go to Milwaukee for the playoffs.
Yeah, look, I would love to just see a tournament this year. One time,
right?
As long as we know that we are going to get past this pandemic, a one-time tournament, and you have, if it's in front of empty stadiums, it is what it is. The TV ratings should be really good. And you have, however the seating committee does it, Pittsburgh's 30, the Yankees are number one, and everybody's in between. It would be interesting to see how this all played out.
Yeah, and I like it because of the people getting the paychecks, too.
Yep.
That's the important one, the seasonal people, the people who are serving the food and watching the parking garages and all that sort of thing. So,
Pat, you stay safe and healthy, man.
All right, keep doing your show.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Be here for you every single day. 312-332-3776. We heard a bunch of Jimmy Graham earlier. Your thoughts on him as well and what the Bears have done so far in free agency. And here is Dimitri in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Dimitri, thanks for listening, man.
Hey, good morning, Cap. How you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Trying to stay safe for a long time. Listen to it. First-time caller.
Appreciate you.
But I have two questions. You know, my first statement is I think people need to slow down on Ryan Pace a little bit. You know, we have so many armchair GMs, and they make it seem like the job is really easy. That's first off. We don't need Graham to be what he was in New Orleans. We just need him to be sufficient. So that means, you know, we need a big first down if he can do that. But my question is, what do you think about the offensive lineman that they picked up, and what's his chances of being a starter? I'm going to hang up and let you talk.
I appreciate your call, man. Stay safe and healthy. Look, you're talking about Jermaine Ifedi, who they signed from Seattle. He started a ton of games in Seattle. I would think, again, we don't know who they take in the draft. That could change. Cody Whitehair was a second-round pick, has become a Pro Bowler, and is a damn good player. If they get somebody they really wanted in the second round at picks 43 or 50, that person could end up starting. But I would think Jermaine Ifedi gives them a guy who can swing between tackle and guard. He has experience. And Yerk broke down the tape and said, there's some things that got to be cleaned up, but he could certainly, you know, give you some quality snaps. So I would think there's a chance he could be your right guard. Kyle Long was on with us last week. It said, love Rashad Coward. He works really hard. I just don't think he's a starting caliber guard on a team thinking they can contend for a championship. So we'll see how it all breaks down. Again, I believe when they look at their board and they're sitting there at pick 43, pick 50, there's going to be an offensive lineman ranked right at the top of their board. I just think that's the way their board's going to break out. Maybe it's an offensive lineman and a tight end. Now, if somebody slides there that nobody expected, and it's a position where you already have strength, but it's clearly the best player, you have to take that player. You cannot look at your board and go, okay, I've got 40 scouts. They canvass the world throughout the football world. all football season. We sat down and did all our reports. We did our meetings. We did all our homework. Bob Jones is clearly the number one player on our board, and it's not close. Yeah, we're going to pass him because we need a right guard. That's how you get yourself fired. You've got to take the best player on the board, whatever position he's at. That's what the great GMs have always done. Best player available. Now, if it's dead even, then you take the need. But right now, it certainly looks like they are going to try and address best player available, and here's hoping it's on the offensive line and maybe a tight end. 312-332-3776. Here's Joe. Wait, we'll get to Joe in a second. I want to play one cut from Jimmy Graham again. I want why he picked the Chicago Bears, and I want people to listen to this.
You know, as I was going through this process and trying to figure out, you know, where I wanted to make my next move and to make my next opportunity, you know, the conversations that I had with Coach and with Ryan Pace and, you know, how they use their tight end and what they already have, you know, their defense, the organization, the teammates, how they run everything. I mean, for me, it just seemed like the perfect fit. And really my conversations with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace were you know, just above and beyond.
So that's Jimmy Graham on why he chose Chicago. Again, how many other offers he had, we'll never know, but it'd be interesting if we did. 312-332-3776. Our guy, Joe in Chicago. Hey, Joe,
hey,
what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, how you doing, man? I'm a officer out here on the street in this great city.
God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you very much, man. I just want to thank you and your crew for doing an amazing job every day. I'm busy out here, but you take my mind off of what's going on here a little while during the day. And long-time listener, first-time caller, just want to thank you and your crew for everything. I got a question about Nick Foles. Me and my buddy were talking about it. Do you think he benefited from a stacked team that year he won the Super Bowl? And how much does he have left in the tank here? Or, in my opinion, Carson Wentz would have won the Super Bowl just as well.
Carson Wentz, had he not gotten hurt, our guy, the Philly Godfather, had a ticket on him to be the MVP at like 65-1, and he possibly would have cashed it. He was leading when he tore his ACL. Now, did he have a stacked team? Look, they won the Super Bowl, so he had a really good team, Joe. But Nick Foles played his you-know-what off. And I still think he has something left in the tank. I think he's excited to be back with Matt Nagy. And I think he is really, really excited to be with this team. And everyone we've talked to, from Tim Hasselbeck to others, have said, that guy's amazing in the room and he'll be great with Mitchell Trubisky. So here's hoping it all works out, man.
Oh, great. That's great news. Again, thanks for everything, for your shout out to the first responders out here and everyone on the front lines. And you guys stay safe. And for the love of God, please, everybody, if you get your essentials, but please stay home and help us out with this epidemic.
We greatly appreciate people like you, the men and women who do what you do. Look, we're just here talking sports and trying to entertain. And I told Danny and Chris last week, this will be the greatest challenge of our career, because when Mitchell Trubisky throws two interceptions or two touchdowns, we can turn on the mic and let's go. When there's no sports, you have got to really be creative. But what you people do, you put your life on the line, and we love you for it, Joe.
We're out here for you guys, man, 100% every day, trying to make it better. So thank you very much. And I'm on that takeout restaurant train with you today, Cappy.
God bless you. Tweet me a video of you picking up your food.
You got it, brother. Stay safe out there.
All right. See you, brother. There you go. There's Joe, a first responder out there. Derek in Brooklyn, our guy. How about that? There he is. I said earlier, I wonder if we're going to hear from Derek, and there he is. Hey, Derek, how we doing, man?
What's up, Buttercup? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Sparky. How's life? And I for people that may have just tuned in today, Derek is on the front lines at a long-term care facility, and his wife is a captain on Rikers Island. So you both are out there battling.
Yeah, man, I had a little sad news when I got to work today about, I can't really give no names out, but a resident that lived here passed away yesterday, so I'm a little upset. As a female, I knew her, and I'm going to miss seeing her around. So, you know, but other than that,
God bless.
Okay. Yeah, my wife is, she's okay. She went back to work today, and everything is good so far, man, you know, except for the bad news I got this morning.
God bless you.
That's why I call you guys, and that's why I listen to you guys, because you guys take my mind off a lot of things.
God bless you, and I know you're a diehard Mets fan, and they just said that Noah Syndergaard's surgery was successful on his Tommy John, so.
Yeah, well, you know, we won't really find that out until hopefully the middle of the 2021 season, you know, so, you know, but good, you know, I'm glad, you know, he had a successful surgery. He's one of my favorite Mets, him and DeGrom, and, you know, we see how that goes.
Well, you stay, do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the Bears, man. I just want Ryan Pace to continue to work on the O-line, and I feel like that's the need. Because, I mean, when you look at it, regardless of what quarterback that we use, he has to be protected, and he has to be, you know, protected the right way. And like I said, Leno, he got to go, but he might wind up staying. But Ryan Pace got to work on upgrading the left tackle spot and the guard spot. And like I said about Jimmy Graham the other day when I called, I think he's going to be rejuvenated. There's going to light a fire under him to want to perform well for this team because he knows this is a historic franchise. And I think he's going to have a good, not a great season, but I'm going to put this out there. I think he's going to have maybe 700 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns. That's how my figure. Hey, oh, yo, Cap, man, I need you to hook me up with some of that pizza, man, that Lou Malnati's, man. What's up, man?
We'll get you hooked up 100%, okay? So when you call in next week, when Danny's here, we'll get you all hooked up.
Thanks, bro. You guys have a great day, man. Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
You too. Stay safe.
Go Bears. Go Bears.
Go Bears. All right. You got it. There you go. That's our guy, Derek in Brooklyn. All right. More calls. JR disagrees with me on best player available. We'll discuss that. 312-332-3776. It's Carry Out Friday. Patronize those restaurants and bars. Get the carry out. We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Well, Chris Black, Eric Ostrowski, Danny's off today. Be back on Monday. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776. 11 o'clock, Dr. Jim Phillips, athletic director at Northwestern. He was one of the guys on the search committee, or the selection committee. I keep calling it search committee. Selection committee for the NCAA tournament. He was in New York, and then bam, that thing gets the plug pulled, and he had to get out of town and get back here. And fortunately, everything is okay, but he's doing e-learning with his kids. He's got kids at home. I think he's got 4 kids, and he's got to deal with all the athletes. So we'll get his perspective on a lot of different things when he joins us at 11 o'clock. JR's in Canada. Hey, JR, what's up, Sparkles?
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate what you're doing, putting out a good program during these times.
Thank you.
Long-time Bears fan here, and I just want to talk about this concept of best player available because it gets parroted a lot, including by, you know, GMs and Ryan Pace himself sometimes talks to that side. But really what I think it comes down to is not wanting to leave value on the table, not necessarily having to take the best player available. Hear me out on this. There's nothing saying that if the top tier of Ryan Pace's speed receivers and offensive linemen is off the board when our pick comes around, that he has to take, you know, another position that we don't need. We don't need another running back if that's the best position, best player available. But there's plenty of teams that will want that. There's nothing saying that he can't trade down and then look at the first spot where he could get maybe somebody in that second tier of either linemen or speed receivers and then, you know, really claim that full value. So I think this whole best player available thing is a bit of a just a mantra that gets thrown out there. And it's really more about just making sure we get good value. Of course, I want good players, too. We all do. But right now, they're in pretty much a win this year kind of mindset. And I don't see a reason why that should change with the draft.
Yeah, look, if there's a guy on the board that's a clear, oh my goodness, we can't believe that guy slipped and he's a great player and we don't need that position, you take said player if he's that good. If he's clearly the best player, but you go, I don't really need that. Yeah, I love him. He's a really good player. But someone else does. Yeah, absolutely. You trade down, you acquire more picks, and you try and add fill holes that way. But what I'm saying is, and when I've talked to multiple GMs, they have said, if there's a guy on the board and you say, I'm not really looking for a corner, I got to go get something else. But the corner that's sitting there is by far the best player on the board and the guy that you go, boy, he'd be a really good player for us. You take the best player on the board, period.
I don't disagree with you in the respect of if it's sort of a generational type talent. But there's a lot of times that, you know, you get caught up and fall in love with guys. And we've seen that happen before, too.
Yeah, no
and
question.
I sometimes think,
no
I
question.
I sometimes think you shouldn't fall for that too much. And instead, just try and make sure you get as much value as you can.
Value at the pick. I don't disagree. JR, thanks, man. Stay safe and healthy up there in Canada. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Junior's in Washington State. Hey, Junior, what's going on, man?
Hey, Cappy. How you doing, brother?
Good. How are things out there?
Not too bad. Packing up right now, leaving God's favorite college town, Pullman, Washington, to head back home to the beautiful west side of Chicago.
God bless.
Just had a quick question for you. I've bugged Black and Abdallah plenty, so I'm just kind of curious on your opinion. If the Bears still decide to draft a quarterback this year, is there a specific quarterback you have your eye on? And what about the nation, the top passer in the nation, the man that led college football in touchdowns and led the number one offense in touchdowns, in Anthony Gordon from right here at Washington State University?
Yeah, the kid at Utah State, Jordan Love, is really, really good, but I just can't believe that the Bears are going to pick a quarterback at either pick 43 or 50, and I'd have to bring up the list in front of me of who might be available fifth round, fourth round. I don't want to just waste a pick just to waste a pick to say we drafted a quarterback. I don't. I want to be able to look and go, well, that was a really intelligent pick. That guy's got a chance to be a really good player. Now, I just don't think they're going to draft a quarterback anywhere near their top two picks in the second round or their fourth pick in their pick in the fourth round. I just don't see it.
See, and I'm hoping that's the case, and that's why if I could ask one favor from you, spend 10 minutes of your day today on YouTube, wherever, look up Anthony Gordon. I don't need to tell Black and Abdallah because I've bugged them about it enough. Just check it out. Lay a second or third day pick wasted on him. Trust me, the Bears would not regret it. He's
Anthony,
a baller.
Anthony Gordon, I'll watch tape on him today.
All right, Cappy. Take care. Black, you're the man, brother.
All right, be safe, kid.
Yes, sir.
Take care.
Thanks, Junior.
There you go.
He makes a point. Gordon's pretty good. He put up all the yardage at Wazoo, obviously, through Mike Leach's system. Leach now moving on to the SEC, and those quarterbacks put up a lot of yardage. So whether or not they can translate that to the next level, it's something that used to be kind of a myth. Like, quarterbacks in that system don't translate. But we've seen in the last 5 to 10 years, they kind of do. And they're kind of perfect for today's NFL. So maybe Anthony Gordon is someone the Bears should be looking at.
Yeah, I'm going to watch some tape on him today. Fat Mike in Chicago. Fat Mike, Bears hater extraordinaire. How are you, kid?
What's up, El Capitano? How you doing, bud?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, my man Steve Vella at Bullstyle 311 last night on the Twitter machine hit me up with a pretty cool question with opening day passing by with no baseball and stuff on it. I tagged you in it as well. But the question it's not a question, just kind of a statement. Name four baseball players in your lifetime that's meant a lot in your life, and to tag four others to do so. And that was a pretty cool thing to do in honor of baseball and all the baseball fans out there missing opening day. I know I'm missing it for sure. So, Cap, I tagged you in it last night. You didn't get back to me. I'm sure you're a busy guy. But go for it. Who's four of them?
Wow. Four baseball players who meant a lot to me in my life?
That's right.
I would have to tell you Ron Santo. I would have to tell you Ernie Banks. I would have to tell you, boy, Anthony Rizzo, and there may be a billion more guys out there, but I've also developed a really good relationship with Anthony. Those three and probably Mickey Mantle. I never saw him play in person, but I loved Anthony. I mean, I loved Mickey Mantle. Loved him. So, hey, man.
Pretty good one, isn't it?
You got it. All right, I got to roll. Have a great day,
Fat
Mike. Stay safe.
Have a good one. Be safe out there.
You too. Stay safe. There you go. 312-332-3776. We'll take a timeout and come back. More calls. Phone lines hopping. Jim Phillips at 11. Be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Let me introduce myself.
Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
All right, we're going to roll back to these calls in just a second. We're going to get you a quick weather update because there's going to be some severe weather rolling in. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. Tracy Butler is part of this show. We love her dearly. She works for ABC 7 every morning, and she is awesome, and she joins us now. Trace, how are you?
Hey there, Cap. I miss you guys so much.
I know. We miss you.
Broadcasting from the Butler weather bunker, I guess you would say it here. So,
at Augusta, you know what they call it?
What?
Butler Cabin.
Yes. You know what? I may have to use that instead.
There you go.
That's right. It is Butler Cabin, Chris, I'll go get myself a green jacket. How about that?
To wear a green jacket. Chris said Butler Cabin. I'm like, perfect.
I love it. So, I've been looking for a name for the cabin. Now I have it. But
there you go.
I'm glad you're having me on because I really want your listeners to be aware of potentially severe weather around here tomorrow and even overnight tonight. Don't be surprised if a few thunderstorms wake you up and maybe even some with some hail. So that would be during the overnight hours tonight. But I think the hours we really need to watch out for are tomorrow afternoon, between about 3 p.m. and maybe even as late as midnight. You know, I know folks are going to maybe even notice the temperatures getting up around 60 degrees tomorrow. You may want to go outside, just take a walk, or if you have to walk one of your, 80 dogs that you have, Cap.
Yep.
Yes, you need to be aware that we have the potential for some thunderstorms, and these may not be just garden variety storms. They could be severe, producing large hail, really strong winds, and we're even looking for the potential of maybe some tornadoes somewhere in northern Illinois. Right now, the highest threat of that would be across west central Illinois, even down toward Peoria. But it's definitely, we're close enough. We really need to keep a close eye on it. So I just want all your listeners to have multiple ways to receive watches or warnings tomorrow. Okay.
At what time are you saying this would all start?
Well, later this evening, I would say between about 10, 11 this evening and between 6 a.m., we get kind of round one of steady rain and a few thunderstorms. And those thunderstorms may produce some hail. However, it's that round that comes tomorrow, anywhere between 3 p.m. and maybe as late as midnight tomorrow night, that has a better chance of being severe.
All right, Tracy, please stay safe, okay?
Yeah, you guys too. Miss you all.
We miss you. And if there's any other breaking weather stuff, please call us.
You bet I will.
All right. We love you.
Take care, guys.
All right. Bye. There you go. Tracy Butler. So there you go. Severe weather could be starting tonight. Chris, you better get Gus out late this afternoon and then let Gus know, hey, big boy, the moratorium on crapping in the house has been lifted.
But we're not doing that in the house to begin with, Cap. We don't go as the code word we use is potty. We taught him as a pup potty, and that means to go to the bathroom outside. So
yeah, well, guess what?
We don't do that inside, Cap.
I don't disagree.
This isn't the Kaplan household. We don't do that inside. We do that outside on the grass.
So do my dogs. But I'm just telling you, if there's severe hail, Gus is going to get to the door and go, good luck. You go take one outside. I'm not.
Yeah, he'll wait. And you know my dog, because if he sees fog outside, we call it the fog monster, he will look out the window. If he sees fog, rain, snow, anything, he says, the heck with it. I'll just stay here. You're right. He does that. When you say, hey, do you want to go out to go potty? He looks and he looks at the window to see what's going on out there. And he says, no, I'm good.
All right.
You knew it. You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
go back to the phones. 312.
Do you want to know more about my dog? You seem like very...
I like your dog. Okay. Your dog's right. Cool. I love dogs.
I've got tons of dog stories if you need them.
I may call you over the weekend.
Potty cap. Potty. That's the code word.
Okay.
You tell it to a puppy when they do it well, and then you celebrate positive reinforcement.
Right, with
then
treats.
Then they learn the word. Well, you don't have to do it with treats. You could also do it with your personality.
I do it with treats. Toy is in Texas. Hey, Toy, what's up?
Hey, man, how you doing today?
How you doing?
All right. Just a quick thought. The Bears just picked up an offensive lineman from Seattle, right?
Yes. Jermaine Ifedi, yes.
So why not keep on going all in? Like Kyle Long said, hey, it all starts up front with the fat guys.
I think they are going to go all in. I think they are going to absolutely draft a guard somewhere with one of those first two picks. I think that's the way they probably will end up going, provided that there's not somebody, as I said earlier, completely jumping off their board at them.
Yeah, and then I was telling Danny, I mean, this draft is stocked with wide receivers.
Yep.
Why not wait till the fourth round to get a wide receiver? Marty Booker was a fourth rounder, wasn't
it? He was, and he was a very good football player, 100%. It's a legitimate question. Toy, thanks, man. Stay safe down there, okay?
All right, man. Be cool.
You too. Be cool. See ya. 312-332-3776. Jimbo's in Lockport. Hey, Jimbo, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I'm a pain out of work because I can't go into people's houses, but, you know.
God bless you. Stay stay healthy.
My girlfriend finally told me to unpack my Suburban because opening day is not going to happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not. That's very disappointing.
But, Cap, you know what happened? We have good neighbors. Mm-hmm. I'm surrounded by a Cubs fans on the left of me and a Minnesota fan on the right of me, and I'm a Sox fan. And I said, you know what? We'll have an opening day. Yep. So I took all my food that was going to happen, and we had a big cookout, and which was so self-distanced because we're 20, 30 feet away. My wife's a nurse. And you know what? All my kids and the neighbors said it was the best time we ever had.
Yeah, because we're all in this together. So you socially distance, you cook the food, and then you set it down, you walk away, somebody picks up the food, you get
We passed it over the fence, and we had an elderly couple. We made a bunch of ribs and everything. Because my wife's a nurse, and she delivered it to their house at the doorstep. And we were out, because we live by a quarry, so we were fishing. I was playing the Burley Perfect Game, and so my neighbor up me, so he was playing Game 7 of the Cubs World Series out on us. Because
you're unbelievable. Hey, man, stay healthy and safe, okay?
Hey, Cap, keep up the good work, man. I love you. You know what? You're fair. That's what I like about you.
You're the best. Thank you for listening. Stay healthy.
All right.
All right. See you, Jimbo. That sounds like they had a good time out there celebrating a little opening day. All right. 312-332-3776. We are going to return to your airwaves in exactly 2 minutes with Dr. Jim Phillips from Northwestern. He was on the selection committee for the NCAA tournament that was then canceled. Now the NCAA is announcing that by significant, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, they're not going to be able to pay the different schools. What's the fallout? What's the effect? We'll get to Jim right after this.